mercy. I like Roy. Okay, you can take out your outlines. Ooh. Parked in here good. All right. We're starting our new series on Galatians, the book of Galatians. Now, Galatians is a different type of book. It's an epistle. That's a letter written to the church. And we want to welcome you all. This is an exciting series. We've done series in the past. We did one on David. That one lasted like 5 years. And then we did one in the book of Romans, which lasted nearly as long. So we're going to do Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Now, when I was a children's pastor at this church, that was during the last century, in the 20th century. For 2.5 years, I was the children's pastor, my wife and I, Pastor Terry and I. And we'd teach the kids the best way to learn the books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels, Acts, Book of Acts. Actually, they call it the Acts of the Apostles. It's actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit. There's a better way to put it. And then 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and then Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And we taught the kids George Eats Popcorn, GEPC, Galatians, Ephesians. Are you following me? Okay. All right. Super Bowl's over, everybody. There's no football, so just relax. So George Eats Popcorn, but I always said George Eats Pork Chops because I like pork chops better than popcorn. My wife's more a popcorn person. But the history of the book of Galatians, it was written by the Apostle Paul, who was once Saul, and Saul was not a good dude. You might be here today and say, well, Pastor Scott, I'm not a good dude. Well, guess what? You're in good company. None of us were good dudes before we knew Jesus. But if you don't know Jesus, today you can receive Jesus and become a good dude. All right? And those you watching online too, God bless you. Some of you should be here in church, but if you have a reason why you're home, God bless you. But the Apostle Paul wrote this, and he was a church planter. He started churches all over the place, and that's what an apostle does. If you meet somebody who goes around calling himself an apostle, first thing you ask him, how many churches have you started? Well, none. Well, then you're not an apostle, because an apostle starts churches, gets them started, and they'll be there for a while. Train up a pastor, pastor goes in place, then he goes down the road 50 miles, starts another church. That's what an apostle does. So people that put these monikers on themselves, and there's nothing behind it, it's just a title. God, I'm not into titles. But Paul was an apostle because he started churches. His vision and mission was to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to non-Jews. That's me. That's most of everybody in here. We're Gentiles, the non-Jewish Gentile community. And Paul, on his missionary journey, if you look in your Bibles, in the back there are maps. Some of you never look at those things. I always say Genesis to the maps. You need to look at the whole thing in the Bible. But there are maps, and they'll show Paul's missionary journeys. And he had 3 missionary journeys. And all 3 journeys, he went through the region called Galatia. It's modern-day Turkey. And he would write these letters or epistles to the churches where he had been to encourage them, to bring teaching. And some books were written to a certain person like Timothy. 1st, 2nd Timothy were written to a young man, a young pastor named Timothy. Okay? They were written to him. And he used that as teaching to encourage the churches he pastored. Others he wrote to churches. The book of Romans was written to the church at... The book of Ephesians was written to the church at? Very good. And the book of Galatians was written to the region of Galatia. It wasn't just a single city. It was many cities, many churches in that region known as Galatia. And so this letter was not written to one specific church. So the books he wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit were focused on solid doctrine and teaching on how to be and live the Christian life, how to be a Christian, how to live the Christian life. That's why it's important the epistles were written to us as Christians. So do we ignore the Gospels? Of course not. But that was the beginnings of the life and the ministry and the teachings of Jesus. But we have to go beyond that. Not to the exclusion of it, but we have to continue on. If you ever hear people say that you'll hear theologian these days say stuff like this, okay? Be ready for it. You read it, you'll hear it from certain ministers. Well, I agree with Jesus on this certain issue. I don't agree with Paul. They'll say that. As if there's a schism, as if there's a clash between what Jesus taught and what Paul taught. Nothing could be further from the truth. What Jesus taught and what Paul taught perfectly dovetail. They complement one another. Actually, Paul expanded on what Jesus taught. Why? Because Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and he taught him stuff. And then the Holy Spirit told Paul to write certain things. Just because Jesus did not address certain modern-day issues that maybe Paul did does not mean that Jesus looked on those modern-day issues with a blind eye. Okay? Case in point, Jesus never said anything about child molestation. So does that mean child molestation's good or fine or okay by him because he didn't address it? Well, of course not. I've got some very creative things that should happen to child molesters. And it's painful. But that's just my opinion. They should be locked up and put away for long periods of time and get the help that they need. Okay? But just because Jesus did not address something does not mean he put a blind eye to it. The books written here by the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that's who led him to write it. So if you come out and say, well, I don't agree with Paul on that, you're putting the Bible in the closet. You're downplaying what the Spirit of God is trying to teach you as a Christian through the Apostle Paul. His focus was solid Christian teaching and doctrine on how to live the Christian life. And the purpose of the letter was to tackle some challenges that had developed after Paul had left the region in Galatia, because some Christians from Jerusalem had come in behind the Apostle Paul after he had left and gone on to other places, and they were teaching some funky gospel. They were teaching some weird stuff. And they were teaching specifically about the works of the law. Okay? They were attempting to get the Gentiles, these new Christians who weren't Jews previously, but they were Gentiles. They were trying to get them to practice some of the Jewish traditions and observing special days, months, seasons, and holidays that they had observed. So they're trying to bring all of this tradition into the early church. And one of the main ones was circumcision. Let's just stop there for a moment. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is basically the opening. Dear Fred, how are you? I am fine. God is good. Devil's bad. I mean, he's just doing an opening here, but there's some good stuff in it. Okay, we're not going to read the entire chapter, but the next two verses I'm going to read summarize the big ideas, the big idea in chapter 1. It's the subject of two gospels. And Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 says, I am astonished, he's writing to these churches in Galatia, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. He's saying these guys are coming in, they're teaching some wacky stuff, and you've so quickly left and throwing out the things I've taught you, you're deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ, you're going to this different gospel. Now, the Jewish Christians had been, back then, Jews were circumcised as babies when they were 8 days old. They came, what they did is these Jewish believers from Jerusalem who came in behind Paul, they came to these new Christians who weren't Jews, they were Gentiles, and they were attempting to convince them that in order to be in this new Christian club called the church, that they had to be circumcised. Now, remember, Jewish law said Jewish babies circumcised when they're 8 days old. Does anybody remember anything that happened when you were 8 days old? I don't, and I have a. I remember things when I was a year and a half. I tell people that and go, "You're kidding." I don't remember most of my childhood. I remember most of my childhood. I remember stuff. Some of you were in my childhood, and I remember you. Okay? But they were trying to convince these guys, these new believers, okay, if you want to be in this thing, now you got to be circumcised. Now, Jewish babies couldn't remember it. These are grown men. They're going to remember this. Okay? They're telling them, we need to do surgery on your man parts. I bet church growth just skyrocketed. If we started this doctrine, okay, guys, line up, we all got to get circumcised, we'd have 30 people here next week. Probably all women.
Yeah, do it to him. Yeah, he deserves it.
Okay, that would go over about as well as it would today. But in Acts 15, there was actually a debate about this subject. Are y'all okay? They actually had a debate in Jerusalem on this subject of bringing all this tradition, including circumcision and holidays and what you ate and what you didn't eat, and they had a debate about it. What was happening then is still happening today. People were finding freedom in Jesus Christ. They were finding victory in the grace of God in this newfound faith in Jesus. But then religion creeps back in. I run into people, they say, I heard you found religion, Porter, people I grew up with. I'm like, I said, I found nothing of the kind. I'm not a religious person at all. I'm a Jesus person. I'm a Jesus follower. Religion attempts to creep back in and grab a hold of people who've been set free and from sin and put them into the bondage of guilt. The religious bondage of guilt and works. If you were raised in a church where you had to be good enough, where you were guilted about, did you read the Bible enough? Did you pray enough? Did you give enough during the offering? We're watching you. We have cameras, and we're watching you, how much you gave. You know, if you get guilted about that growing up in church, you're in a safe place. Now, here's the thing. God knows how much you give, so that's more powerful than a camera. Okay? It doesn't make any difference whether I or anybody else knows. You just need to obey God and what he leads you to do. But if you feel guilted into doing something, or if you think you have to earn God's love or grace or mercy, you're on the wrong track. Okay? I had a friend of mine who was a priest that said to me, this was the priest said it, a Roman Catholic priest. Porter didn't say it. He did. He said, you know, us Roman Catholics, we do guilt real well. That's what he told me. And I went, ooh. I have said for years this. If Abiding Word Church were a store, if this was a store, you came in the lobby and this was the store and it was shelves and it was stocked with all kinds of stuff. And you came in and said, yeah, it's Pastor Scott, you're the store clerk here, right? Yes, I'm the store clerk. I would like some guilt, please. Do you have some nice choice guilt? I'd say, sorry, we don't stock that. You can go down the road. There's places where you can get that. We stock love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and goodness and mercy and accountability, but not guilt. Galatians 1, verse 7. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. See, this is what we want to talk about today. It's easy to turn what Jesus has done for us into what we can do for ourselves. This is self-help. We have to do it for ourselves. That's what too many churches do. It turns in the long run, into dead religion. Because one is based on rules, which is religion. Man's attempt to get to God. Now, I'm kind of split on this in one way because I'm a law and order guy. I believe in law and order and society and what have you. And I'm good with some rules, but some rules are just dumb. okay? Case in point, here's one rule I believe in. Lines. If I'm in a line someplace and somebody just comes up and gets in front of me, I don't just take that. I tap them on the back and say, excuse me, there's a line and it begins back behind me. Thank you. God bless you. Now move it. Now, if they're up there with, if it's their spouse or something, fine, you're joining your spouse. But I have, you ever had that happen? At the store, at the movie theater, any place, somebody, you're in line, and somebody just comes up ahead of you. They're just going to walk on up there because nobody says anything. Why? Because we're cowards. You need to speak up. Say, excuse me, line. Don't like that. But when you get into rules about life and about serving God, it's all about rules and doing things. You got to dot your I and cross your T and march a certain way and act a certain way. Now you've gotten into religion, which is man's attempt to get to God. One is based on relationship, that's life, and that you have fallen in love with Jesus like we sang about. Don't you love that song? Some of us, what we need to do to get this in our head, if you got an iPhone, I can talk about an iPhone, that's what I have. Pull up this song, How Beautiful by Mosaic. The singer sounds just like Bethany Curzan, I'm telling you. And can I get an amen if you've heard the song? And just turn it on low and hit repeat and let it play all night. Make sure your phone's plugged in. And just let your subconscious mind take that in. Why? What are you going to hear all night? How beautiful, how loving, how merciful, how amazing God is. Because some of us, we need to get that in our heads. Because you're not thinking that. You're thinking God's big daddy with a stick ready to knock you upside the head whenever you mess up. And nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus decided to pay your bill. Which reminds me of last night. I'm at Arthur's, Pastor Terry and I, with Pastor Doug and Aaron. We're eating, and my phone rings. And it's this young lady. She said, thank you so much for paying my bills at El Tapatio. I said, excuse me, who are you calling? Well, I have your business card here, and somebody paid my bill and left your business card. And I said, is my photo on it? They said, yeah. I said, wow. Well, let me tell you what happened, ma'am. And there's another lady in the background. Thank you. I said, what happened? A member of Abiding Word Church paid your bill in order to do a random act of kindness. And he just left that to let you know Jesus loves you and Abiding Word loves you and that they wanted to bless you. And I was like, yeah. Oh, go do that. And they called me. That made my night. It was Dave Justice. There, I said it. It was Dave. Jesus paid your bill. Dave paid their bill at El Tapatio. I love their... What do I get there? Terry's giving me, don't talk about food. Not the burritos, the enchiladas. So good. Okay, but Jesus paid our bill. He paid for our sins. Who's going to pay for your sins? You? Or are you going to allow Jesus to? Because you can say, no, it's okay. You paid for everybody else, but I'll just take care of it myself. I'll earn it. I have to be good enough. I hear people all the time when someone dies, well, you know what? I think they went to heaven. But if they did, they made it by the skin of their teeth. They just slid in. I've heard people say this for years. And I'm like, excuse me. When you die, if you go to heaven, nobody's sliding in or skidding in or anything else like that. You're either in or you're out. It's dependent upon what you did with Jesus. If you received him, you're in. If you rejected him, you go to hell. Yeah. What happened to grace and mercy and all that? Heaven and hell are real places. Grandma didn't dream them up in the 50s, okay? It's just not a fact. It's very easy to get back into this other gospel, a gospel of works or being good enough for God. None of us can be good enough for God. Well, you're going to heaven because you're a pastor. Bull. No, I'm not. I know some pastors that are going to hell because they don't believe in Jesus. Give me a close-up. Good Lord. You don't go to heaven because you're a pastor. You teach children's church. It's what have you done with Jesus? It's very easy to go into this other gospel. Paul then challenged their motives in verse 10, Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I got news for you. If I wanted to be a people pleaser, I wouldn't be a pastor. Because you know what? Nobody's ever satisfied. Now, how many of you like that we had the words of the song at the bottom of the screen? We heard some words from people, because they said, you know, I'm here and I can't see the main screen and there's some jughead in front of me. And you know who you are. So we got the words on the sides. Jughead. All right. So don't be a people pleaser. Be a God pleaser. So key question is, how am I going to become godly? What is going to be my approach to godliness? You see, even in Christianity, we can get messed up and pervert and twist the gospel. This is a message and a question that is foundational. And it starts in the first story in the Bible, Adam and Eve. Because the devil appealed in the place of the serpent, the devil appealed to Eve on how to be godly. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. It says, now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. Now, God brought up food, Pastor Terry, not me. It was yummy, delicious fruit. And later they had steak and Chicken George. And in the middle of the garden, there were two trees. Now, this is important. Pay attention here, boys and girls. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two separate, distinct trees. Two trees. Okay? And in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, he tells Adam. God tells Adam. He told him you were to dress and keep the garden. In the King James, he said this, which means to guide, guard, and govern. You're in charge, Adam. And he told Adam, the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. Stop. So which tree did God say you can't eat of? Tree of knowledge of good and evil. Could they eat of the tree of life? Yes. Could they eat of all the other trees? I'm sure there were dozens, if not hundreds, of trees they could eat from. The only tree they couldn't eat from was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day that you eat of, what will happen? You will surely... Physically? No. They ate of it and they lived for hundreds of more years. They died spiritually. That means because of sin, disobedience to God, they were separated from God. And from that moment on, sin passed down to all humanity. Thank you, Adam and Eve. Wrong. That passed down to all of us. That sin nature passed down to us all. Now it says here in Genesis 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, now he's talking to the woman, Eve, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Lie. Did he say that? Did God say that? No. You can eat of all the trees except for one. The devil said, the serpent, you must not eat from any tree in the garden. No, he didn't say that. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. Stop. How many trees are in the middle of the garden? There's two. And you must not touch it or you will die. I am of the opinion... Some theologians are, not many, but I'm of the opinion, it's kind of a narrow opinion, I'm of the opinion that Adam not only passed down sin to us, but he also passed down to us men something that we still do today. It's called, we didn't talk to our wives. Ladies, can you back me on this? Hubby gets told something, and then he doesn't tell you, and then you go on down the road a ways time, and then somebody says something, well, didn't your husband tell you? And your husband's like, uh-oh. I do it all the time. I do it all the time. God told Adam, you can eat of the fruit of all the trees. There are two trees in the midst of the garden, but you can't eat of the one. Here's Eve not saying, I can't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but she said this, I can't eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. There's two trees in the middle of the garden. I'm of the opinion she didn't know which one it was. My opinion. If I touch it, I'll die. See, watch what the devil says next. He says to her, you heard it wrong. It's not true. He attempts to pull her from the truth of God's word. Verse 4, you will certainly not die. Lie. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now notice what he didn't do. The devil did not appeal to Eve's desire to be rebellious or even sinful. You know? He appealed to her desire to be godly. If you eat of it, you'll be like God. See, you eat it, you'll be like him. Don't you want to be like him, Eve? Well, of course we do. But she ate of the fruit of the tree. The serpent was saying, my way's better. You know, God's got his way and he's fine. My way's better. You might hear that from people in church and outside of church. Oh, try this way. Yeah, but Pastor Scott says we're going to do it like this. What does he know? He's getting some gray in his beard. You know? Oh, but God says this. Oh, what does God know? You'll know good from evil, is what the serpent said. You can control. You can control your own godliness. And what did Eve do? She bought into the lie. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, it was delicious, it was yummy. And also desirable for gaining wisdom, so you could be like God, like the serpent said. She took some and ate it. Now get this. She also gave some to her husband who was with her. Now was Adam with her the whole time the serpent's talking? I don't know. But you can't say he wasn't. Because it says she took the fruit, she ate it, and gave some to her husband who was with her. That kind of infers that he was with her. And what did he do? Nothing. He stood there like a bump. Everybody always blames Eve. I blame Adam. He was there to guide, guard, and govern. He was there to guard the Garden of Eden. And what's a serpent doing in there? What's the devil doing in there? What's the enemy of God doing in the garden? He slipped in. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked, so they sewed together fig leaves and made coverings for themselves. What did they try to do? They tried to have a physical solution to a spiritual problem, and it's what we do today. We think we can work it out. What was the result? Loss of innocence, shame, guilt, condemnation. Let me throw it three different ways, some clarity on the subject. One focuses on what you do. Here's the thing. We read the Bible, and here's what we shouldn't do. We shouldn't be thinking about what you read. You know, now this is the wrong example. We don't think about what we read, but how many chapters we read. We're not reading the context. We're not getting the context. We're making marks. We're keeping track. Okay, I got to read two chapters today. Well, that's great. Reading your Bible through every year is a great thing to do. But if all you're doing is marking time and keeping score that you did it, are you getting anything out of it? Or how long have you been going to church? I pray every morning. That's great. But are you doing it just because you can say, I pray every morning? See, in this, In the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in works and doing it your own way, following your own plan, the goal is what you do. One focuses on what Jesus has done, that's life. The other focuses on what I've done. You see, when I read my Bible, I'm not focused on how much I have read, but how much of Jesus I can find. If you just read one verse and find Jesus, that's enough. If you have one verse or half a chapter and find Jesus and get excited and start running around your house praising God and thanking Him for His goodness, that's enough. But if you read an entire book of the Bible and just put the bookmark in and says, glad that's over with, that don't mean anything. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, if you read a whole book and you see Jesus and you get excited, great. But it's not based on what you do. It's not based on how much you pray or how often you go to church or how much you give. It's based on what Jesus wants you to do. And guess what Jesus wants you to do? He wants you to read your Bible. He wants you to pray. He wants you to be in church more often than you're not. And He wants you to give. God will have you give more than I could ever guilt you into doing giving, so that's why I don't guilt people. It don't work. Look what Jesus said. You know? Okay, let me say this first. What you need to be saying is, Lord, I want to get closer to You. I want more of You. And talking about your love for Him. You see, we're not trying to gain or earn points. It's not a competition. Reading and praying and giving and going and serving and all this. All that stuff is great. All that stuff we need to do. But what is the attitude of your heart and the focus of your mind? What's your mindset? John 5, verse 39. John, the apostle, he said, you diligently study the scriptures because you think, this is Jesus speaking, because you think that by them, by the scriptures, you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, Jesus. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Okay? We're not to read the Bible, but to experience it. Our goal is to get close to Jesus. One focuses on getting God's approval. One focuses on getting man's approval. One focuses on receiving God's love. God already knows your sin life. He knows your past. He knew you before you were born. He knows everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said, everything you ever thought. He knows that? Yeah. And guess what? He still loves you. He still does. Don't confuse the fact that He does not like your sin, but He loves you. Your view of God will determine your relationship with God. That's the whole point of this message. Your view of God, how you see God, if He's the big guy with the stick ready to knock you over the head, you know, God's watching you. Your view of God will determine that. How you see Him, how you see Him in your heart, in your mind, will determine how you interact with Him. Case in point, some of you were here today, and you came into service, and during time of worship, you kind of held back. Man, people were pressing in during that How I Love You time, and you weren't lifting your hands, you weren't clapping your hands, you weren't singing, you were just kind of standing there. And guess what? Some of you, maybe that's not your background, and this is all new to you, so I'm not condemning you at all, but I'm just going to say this to you. Relax. Loosen up and enjoy yourself. Some of y'all went to Kiss concerts with your lighter. Hello. Then there are those of you who are regulars that know what we do here. We clap our hands. We lift our hands. We might dance around a little bit. But because you might have sinned this weekend or this morning on the way to church, you think now God's mad at you. And so you just want to keep your distance. Anybody? You know? Oh, geez, I don't want to pray with God because He'll know I'm a hypocrite. We need a mindset change. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, one translation says, even when we were His enemies, Christ died for us. He died for you even when you hated Him, even when you didn't want anything to do with God. He still died for you. Some of you here today, you're struggling in faith. Maybe you're even an agnostic, or maybe you call yourself an atheist. No, there's no such thing as atheist. You're agnostic. An atheist says there's no God. You don't know that. Your mind's not that big. You're not that smart. You're agnostic. You don't know if there's a God. If you'll honestly embrace that and say, I don't know there's a God, guess what? I can sit down and prove to you there's a God. He's real. I talked to him this morning, and he said to tell you he loves you. Amen. Hello. So you don't have to get your act together to get God. You get to God to get your act together. Some of you got the cart before the horse. See the difference? He wants you to come as close as you can to him, even if you did sin on the way to church this morning, even if you and your spouse got head at it in front of the kids. God heard you. You think being inside your Volvo shields you from God knowing? Seriously. 1 John 4:19 says, we love God. We love God because he first loved us. He initiated it. You didn't. I didn't. God loved you first, and we in turn respond to that love and love him in return. So you have to decide which tree you're going to eat from. Tree of life, tree of the fruit of knowledge, good and evil. One focuses on external duty, what I have to do. I've got to do. I've got to march lockstep. I got to be good. I got to be perfect. I got to do this. It's works. And one focuses on internal desire. That's life. It's a delight to serve God. It's not drudgery. Is it always easy? No, but it's a delight to. We don't do it because we want to. Over here, we don't do it because we want to, we do it because we have to. Something my wife and I correct ourselves on all the time. And I'll correct other people. I seldom correct people. But if somebody says, oh, you can't go to that family gathering because you have to preach. I said, no, I don't have to preach. I get to preach. I don't have to. I get to. Mindset change. Change from got to we get to. Come on, kids, get up, get ready. We gotta go to church. See what you're doing to your kids. Come on, kids, get up. We get to go to church. Yay! Let's go. Your kids might still go, but you're sowing good seed. 1 John 5:3. This is the love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not, everybody say not, not burdensome. They are not burdensome. Oh, serving God, it's just the most awful, terrible, terrible thing. I hear people say this stuff. You know? I want to go all Ralph Cramden on them. Bang, zoom, and to the moon. Google that, Ralph Cramden. Okay. Other people say or think, that Bible, the Bible, reading the Bible will be the hardest thing you ever do in your life, man. Here's the truth. If you're in love with God, it's the greatest joy of your life to do what's written in the Word. Why? Because you're obeying him. And his commands are not burdensome. Everything changes because of love. Ask yourself, are we doing things out of duty or out of delight? 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. His commands are not burdensome when you are in love with God. Hello? So how do I eat from the right tree, the tree of life? How do I eat from that every day? Our goal is to live and eat from the living tree of life. First of all, living in that tree of life, we're to fall in love with Jesus. How do you fall in love with somebody? Pastor Terry and I started dating when we were 16 years old. And we fell in love, and we got married. I was 20, she was 19. It was my 20th birthday. I was 19 the day before. I went to bed. I was a teenager. I woke up the next morning, and then the next night I went to bed, I was 20, and I had a ring on. What happened? We fell in love. I asked her several years later, why did you like me? Why did you want to go out with me? She said, you listened to me. Really? Hot chick, listen to her? Fine, yeah. Worked for me. But what do you have to do? You have to spend time together. You're with each other. You talk to each other. You hear each other and listen to each other. That's how you fall in love. Two things make me fall in love with Jesus. Who he is, that's love, and what he has done. Who he is, he's God. And what's he done? He's healed me and blessed me and saved me and filled me and helped me and taught me. And I could go on and on and on and on. That's a whole other sermon. Nobody else volunteered to pay for my sin. I am grateful for the gift of life and the freedom Jesus has given to me. See? We don't need you being religious in here. Don't come in here and be religious. We need you to love Jesus. It's mindset change. I remember, you know, different people approach funerals different ways. There's different traditions. Some places you go in, the organ's playing, and it's, you know, high church, and everybody's quiet and solemn. Well, in my family with the Porters, when my grandpa Porter passed away, Corey Porter passed away, he was like 91 years old. And it was over at Wheelock Allen Funeral Home in Rock Falls, if you remember where that was, on First Avenue there, just down from the Dairy Dream. Good ice cream. And some members of our church came in. They were from kind of more of a denominational background, a little more like this, you know, kind of straight laced. And I remember they came in, and my family's in there. I have 45 first cousins. I have a dozen uncles and aunts and everything. And we're all in there. And it is a party. It's loud. People are laughing. And these two people from our church came in, these two ladies, and they came in like this. Hi, Pastor Scott. We're so sorry about your grandpa. I said, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And then they looked into the funeral home. Everybody's back there laughing and hugging and slapping and all this stuff. And I said, if you wait a few minutes, we're going to break out the fiddles. It's just how we look at it. We aren't religious about that at all. Why? Because Papa's home. That's what we call him, Papa Porter. He's in heaven. He's 91 years. Served Jesus most all of his life. Drove the church bus down in Virginia. Raised his children to serve God. And their children to serve God. Man, it's a celebration. Do I miss him? Absolutely. I remember he's on his deathbed and I'm holding his hand at my Uncle Harold's house. And I would just sit in there quoting scripture to him. And he'd say under his breath, he'd say, amen. And I'll never forget, he brought his hand over. It took every ounce of strength he could. He's laying on his side. He brought his hand all the way over his body and put it on top of my hand. I will never forget that as long as I live. I had that moment with him. He's in heaven. So don't come in here and be religious. Man, come in here and celebrate God. Celebrate life. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you'll obey my commandment. And for years I ate from the wrong tree. Because I thought this, I thought if I love God, I have to prove to him how much I love him. By being a good person and doing what he told me to do. And only then will he love me if I'm good enough. But if I live and eat from the tree of life, I will love God. He's saying to me, if you love me, you will. Why? It's an act of my will. I want to serve God. It's not I have to. It's I want to. You'll want to. Okay? It doesn't mean you have to wake up every morning and you got your rubber band on your wrist and you wake up, I'm not thinking about Jesus, and you snap the rubber band. Ow! Ow! Every time I have a bad thought, I snap the rubber band. I know for some folks that doesn't work, but I'd have welts. Okay? I don't wake up every morning and pray that I don't cheat on my wife. I don't give myself a pep talk when I get out of bed and think, okay, I made it through another day. It's not a thought that crosses my mind. Are there beautiful women in the world? Yeah, I'm a guy. Of course there are. But it's what you focus your mind on thinking. I love her. She is the mother of my children. She is my best friend. She's been by me when I was sick. It's natural for me to only think of her because I love her. Who do I think of? I think of God. I think of Jesus. Too many of us start on the command side, thinking that God will cause, thinking that if I just stay on the command side, if I just do, if I just have to, if I just do things, then God, it'll cause God to love them. Wake up, friend. If you're in that kind of thinking, in time, the devil will separate you from God because one day you might not do as well as you think you ought to be doing, and then you're going to fall off the edge. Do you get that? Don't allow condemnation, number two there. The devil works overtime to condemn you, and the temptation will be to do what those teachers did coming into Galatia, to try to get you to go back into works-related religion, performance-based religion. And what you need to do is come into a deeper relationship with Jesus. I encourage you next week, take class 101. If you've been attending this church for some time, you want to get involved, take 101. Then get into a Bible study. Get water baptized if you haven't been water baptized. Is the next one Easter? Easter Sunday, Easter Saturday weekend. Get into one of the seven basics with Annette. And start growing and learning about God. Here's the bottom line, folks. Here's the best way to identify, and I'm going to close with this. The best way to identify which tree you are living in, it's based on how you view other people's sins. If you are quick to condemn others, you need a checkup from the neck up. I've heard most of my life, you know, we're just to hate the sin but love the sinner. I've heard that. And, you know, that's true to a point. But here's some practical application for you. Realize this. You've got enough sin of your own to hate. I don't need to be hating somebody else's sin. I need to be keeping things right with God. What do I need to be doing for that other person who might very well be sinning? Praying for them. I don't need to be hating their sin. Where does it say that in the Bible? It doesn't. But it says love your enemies. It says pray for them. Love, bless, do good, and pray. Most of the time we're hating people's sins, people we hate, Donald Trump. Some of y'all hate the president. You need to stop. Why? Jesus didn't say hate your president. He said pray for your leaders. Some of you might have hated Barack Obama, President Obama. Guess what? That was just as wrong. You know who I pray for now? I pray for Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton and George W. Bush and Barack Obama and Donald Trump. Why? Because they were all of our leaders and they're still alive. That's who you need to pray for. Thank you. This message brought to you by, and I approve this message. I'm glad the Iowa caucus is over. We don't see those commercials anymore. Is the Iowa caucus over? I don't know. Is it really? Romans 8 verse 1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You've got to make a choice every day to serve God. Deuteronomy 13, I'll just read this, and this is really the end. This day I call heaven and earth as witness against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life. Don't you love it if you were in high school or in college and you had a multiple choice test and the teacher gave you the answer? Huh? Huh? Multiple choice? He gives you the answer? It's C. Read the next question. It's B. B. Next one. It's all the above, which is D. He gave you the answer. I set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. Life works. Want to, have to. Choose life that you and your seed will live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for loving us. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for showing that we don't need to serve or follow another gospel. We will follow the gospel of Jesus, the teachings of John and Peter and Paul and all those who wrote to instruct us as believers in Jesus, to serve you, the living God. So help us to change our mindset to see you for who you are, the real Jesus. Thank you for your love and your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed here in the auditorium and eyes closed, and speaking to you watching online as well. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, that means this, that you believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead. You believe he died on the cross, rose from the grave. If you believe that, you're halfway home. Then there's a second part that says, and then confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. If you do that, you'll be saved. We're not saved by works. We just learned that. It's by God's grace through faith. So by believing and confessing and receiving Christ, he forgives you, he cleanses you. Spirit of Almighty God comes and lives on the inside of you, and you are changed. You will leave here different than when you walked in this building. If that's you, I want you to pray with me to do that. Or you might be here and you say, Pastor, there's a time in my life when I did serve God. I received Christ. For whatever reason, you've been out doing your own thing. And you need to recommit, rededicate your life. 1 John 1:9 says, if you, this is written to Christians, if condition, you confess your sins. What's that mean? I blew it. I messed up. I sinned. If you confess your sins, he, God, is faithful and just. He's faithful to forgive you, and he is fair. Just means fair. To forgive you of your sin, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you come in true repentance right now and want to ask God to forgive you, he shall. He will. So pray with me right now. I invite the family here to Abiding Word. Pray with us. And those online, you pray with us too, right where you're at. Let's all pray right out loud. All of us together. Lift our voices nice and loud. Say, Dear God in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the grave. And he's alive today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I want to live for you who died for me. And from this day forward, regardless of what comes, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Everybody look up. This time, Pastor Terry is going to come, receive tithes and offerings, and also some announcements. I know we have the church business meeting after service, so you can go out and fellowship. She'll give you more info on that. We'll meet back here in the sanctuary. You're going to want to be here if you're a member because it's a good report. Yay! Pastor loves good reports. And God is good. Isn't he, honey? All right. Well, I will see you in the lobby after service. Remember, Jesus loves you, and we do too. God bless everybody. Love you.
If you just asked Jesus in your heart or you rededicated your life, you said that prayer with Pastor Scott, and you made that decision to love Jesus, on your connection card, there's two boxes. One says, I prayed today for the first time, or I rededicated my life. Make sure you mark those boxes so we can get you information. If today you made that dedication to Christ, we want to help you on your journey in learning more about him. Like Pastor talked about, you know, you always need to be able to get information, right? And to build a foundation. So when the enemy comes and tries to attack you with the wrong thoughts, then you have the right, the truth to counteract that. So today, if you ask Jesus in your heart, rededicated your life, if you lift up your hand, our ushers will just come over and give you a packet of information. It's going to show you, there's a little track in there. It'll show you what you just did. There's another thing that talks about our growth track. There's a book in there for you to read about what just happened to the new life that you've started in Christ. So if that's you, raise up your hand, and the usher will get that to you. Just lift it up high. Yep, we got one right there. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Anybody else need a packet today? If not, if you're a little bit shy, just to raise your hand, make sure you stop at guest services. You can pick a packet up there today or mark your card and we'll send it to you in the mail, all the information that you need. At this time, we're going to get ready to receive our tithes and offerings. If you're giving by check or cash, of course, you can put in the offering. You can also text it in. There's a number to text in your giving, or you can give online, like with a reoccurring gift. Now, Pastor Scott just mentioned that today we're going to be doing our business meeting for our members for financials so we can give a report to you of what your money did and where your money went. One thing I want to give a report on is maybe not a financial number, but to me it's the number probably that makes the biggest hurrah for you is numbers of what church did and how we reach people. So I just want to let you know that last year in 2019, we had 77 people give their heart to Jesus or rededicate their lives. We had 41 people join the Dream Team and become part of Abiding Word. And we had 23 people stand up publicly and get baptized and declare before everybody that their lives belong to Christ. Amen. Let's give a clap for that. Amen. So giving is not something we want from you. It's not something we want from you, but it's what God wants from you, like Pastor said, that you're giving out of love. Let's pray over your gifts today, whether you've given them online or in person today. Father, we thank you for those that are giving today or even online watching and giving. We thank you, Father, that our seed is making a difference. We're praising and thanking you that there's people in the kingdom of God because of the seed that we planted. We give you honor and glory and thank you that you would multiply it back to our households, that we would be blessed so we can turn around and help others always. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, you can receive our offering. Let me go over just a few things with you. You know, if you're looking for a resource, as Pastor's going to go through the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians coming up, every week I'm going to just kind of give you a little resource. So out in the bookstore, there is a book called The Image of God in You. So helping you, then, what Pastor was talking about is how do you look at God and how do you think that God looks at you? For $1.50, less than a cup of coffee, you can pick up a book that will make some eternal difference in your life, and that's out in the bookstore. Guests, if you are here today and you didn't stop at guest service, make sure you do and get a packet that we have for you. There's prayer partners at the back of our auditorium to pray with you. If you have any type of need, they'll connect with you, speak the word over you, and encourage you. If you are coming back for the business meeting, make sure you pick up your kids and then come in. And then I wanted to encourage you, too, as we're going through the book of Galatians, to read the book of Galatians. It would be helpful to you. And so if you don't have it, you can download the YouVersion Bible app on your phone. That way, when you're out and about, it can also read it to you. Maybe while you're, I do this in the morning while I'm getting dressed, putting on my makeup, I'd have the Bible read it to me. And you can go through the whole book of Galatians as Pastor is going through the book with you during the next few weeks. The last thing I want to let you know is, if you are a Dream Team member, I really want you to be able to participate in this, is that we are saying thank you to you. So we have rented out the Sterling Theater downtown. We're showing Toy Story 4. We're giving you pop and popcorn, all for free. And so it's just a family night. So if you are a member of our Dream Team, a member of our church, please sign up at guest services or on your connection card with your name and how many people are in your family. You can bring your family, as many as your family that you want with you. Just sign them up and show up on February 27th at 6 p.m. at the theater. It's just our way. It's a small way. It's a simple way of saying thank you, and we appreciate it. All right. Well, God is good, and we will see you out in the lobby. Shake somebody's hand and say God loves you, and we'll meet you out there.